This morning, I'm going to speak on giving. And God has always required man to give something back to him. And in the Old Testament, they gave tithes, offerings, and sacrifices. And in the New Testament, we give of our means, our money. So, we're going to take a time to look at these things. First, we're going to look into what those of the people of Israel were to do. Because as I gave in my last lesson, if you remember, it was about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And I told us that the Old Covenant was there for us to learn by. So, certainly would be the case. We can look at what they did in the way of giving to the Lord and learn from it. Then we'll look into the New Testament and see what we have there in the teachings for us today to give. So let's start with the offerings that they were to make. In Exodus 30, verse 11 through 13 will be our first example. We see there was a sacrifice, or an offering, I should say, for the tabernacle. In Exodus 30, verse 11, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what every one among those who are numbered shall give, a half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. So there was one of the offerings that they were to make to the Lord. Our next example we see is that of a burnt offering in Leviticus chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. Leviticus 1:1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock, of the herd and of the flock. If this offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it as his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. So, there's some things to point out here. That this offering was to be a male from their herd. Why a male? To sacrifice a male is to sacrifice further growth of your herd. Males help to produce the flock. If you sacrifice one of them, you've sacrificed something. Notice it was to be without blemish. So it was to be not, you look through and you find something, well, here's one that's not so whatever. This will be a good one to get rid of. You also, in the other parts of the scriptures, we see that it was to be of the first of the flock. So it had to be special. You were really sacrificing something, giving up something. And that's the point we need to make here. Also, we notice it was of the person's own free will, but it was to be done. They were to do it. Let's also go over to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And we're going to see here about their tithing. Verse 22, we're going to see about their tithing and see the notice. First off, that tithing was a 10% is what tithing was. And we'll see here in that. And then we're going to look at verses 28 and 9 and see that there was a special tithe that was made every 3 years. So let's look at Deuteronomy 14 and we'll start in verse 22. You shall truly tithe all of your increase, of the increase of your grain that the fields produces year by year. So you gave of the increase of your grains of your field was one of the things they tithe. Now let's jump down to verses 28 and 9. And we see there, at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hand which you do. So, not only did they tithe every year, but on this third year, it was to be set aside that the Levite, because the Levites were their own special people. They didn't get an inheritance of the land as all the other tribes did. And they didn't have, they had their own jobs that they had to do as priests and caretakers of the tabernacle and providers of those kind of things. And so they were provided for in this manner and partaking also of the sacrifices of the animals that were given. So, they were to be taken care of in this third year, as well as the stranger that was within their gates, and the fatherless, and the widows. And there was a purpose in doing this, you notice, that the Lord God may bless you. In doing this, God was going to bless you. These things are in here for us to learn by. And we need to keep in mind, what did God tell them? By them giving of their means in this manner, they were going to be taken care of. Does that mean that they wouldn't have any wants or bad times? No. But they will be taken care of. And we'll see that in some later scriptures that I have. And one of them is by David. And David wrote that this was indeed the case, that God had taken care of them. If you'll turn over to the book of Psalms, David wrote in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the descendants begging bread. I can relate to this young and old thing. And I can relate to it in my life. I have never had to beg for bread. The Lord's taken care of me and my family. And I've seen others But the thing we need to notice is there, is what did it say? That the righteous, those who live righteously are the ones that are guaranteed we're going to be taken care of. And we need to keep that in mind. Let's also look at Solomon, David's son. He had something to say about this. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So, honor the Lord. That was what they were told. That's why you give, is to give honor to the Lord for what He has done for you, how He has provided for you. And here, as I said, it's the first fruits is what they were to give of. You don't take care of yourself and then give what's left over to Him. You give of the first fruits of all your increase. And if you do, your barns will be filled with plenty. So does that mean all I got to do is just give and I'm going to be taken care of and I'll have life ever so easy? That's a lot of times what the Jew thought. But that is not the case. We will provide it for. What did David say? He hadn't seen any, had to beg on the streets for bread. Didn't say that they lived in the best of conditions. Didn't say they had everything they ever wanted, but they didn't have to beg for bread. And that's the thing we need to keep in mind. So, that's what we have from the Old Testament to look to and glean some things from. What does the New Testament tell us? Well, our first example is Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Tyler used this before we gave this morning. Did you pay attention to some of the things here? Paul said, I have given orders. This is a command. Paul's not speaking on his own will, of his own will, of his own thoughts. This isn't so Paul can be taken care of. This is for the saints. But it's an order. I gave it to the Galatians, and you, hear that personal thing there? You must do also. This is a command. Paul had every right as an apostle to tell us this because he was guided by the Holy Spirit in what to say. And when are you to do it? The first day of the week, as we did. And who's to do it? Each of us. Each of us who earns an income has this obligation to what? Give something. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and Paul wrote us an example here as well. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and we'll look down through verse 8. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the God who is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So let's look at some key words here. Sparingly. So will you sow sparingly. Bountifully. So shall you reap bountifully. Didn't Solomon in Proverbs say, give of all your increase and your barns will be filled? Paul's given the same kind of example here. Let each one of you, again, give what? As he purposes. In his heart, not grudgingly. What were they told in the Old Testament? You had to do it willingly. And so were we. Not of necessity. That's willingly then. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Why do you do this? Because God is going to give you grace that abounds towards you. That having all sufficiency. Does that say, mean you're going to have everything? No, the word is sufficient. You'll have what you need. The necessities. May abound that all good work, for every good work that you want to do, you'll be able to do it. Isn't that what the Jews were told in the, as I said, in the Old Testament, David spoke of in Psalms and Solomon and Proverbs? You'll be blessed if you do. But we can notice in these two examples that there's no exact percentage given, no exact dollar. But might the words bountiful and abundance suggest something? After all, Hebrews 7:22 tells us we live under a better covenant. I'm not going to read that. You can turn and read it. But Hebrews 7:22, the writer said it's a better covenant that we live under. We don't have to make animal sacrifices. We don't have to give of everything that we have. We give of our means, that the work of the church may abound. And what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? Matthew 5:20. He said there, just paraphrasing, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we won't enter into heaven. Part of our righteousness is living godly and doing what God wants. And what does God want? Us to give cheerfully and willingly. So, do we give for the right reason? Jesus in Matthew 6:33 said something that I think fits with my point. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Jesus was talking about the scribes and Pharisees who like to do things to be noticed of men. But the point is, in our giving, are we doing it to be noticed? So that others don't talk about me? You didn't give. Or do we do it? Wow, did you see how much he put in the plate? I heard, or whatever. Let's look at an example of showing someone who is giving for the right reason. Luke 21. In Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, we'll read. Luke 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw a rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put more in than all. For all of these out of their abundance have put in an offering for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. What do you see here? Trust in God. Jesus saw many people coming by, and a lot threw in a lot. But this woman comes along, and he could tell that she gave everything she had. She had trust that God was going to take care of her, and she knew she needed to give. Now let's look at an example of for the wrong reason. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 we're only going to look at, and most people will probably already know what this is about. But we're going to look at that. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back a part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? Okay, first, let's get a little background. In the early part of Acts is the start of the church. And in Acts chapter 2, we're told that all, a lot of them gathering together had all things in common. Those that had sold and gave it so that everybody could get along. And in Acts chapter 4, we have an example of Barnabas doing that as well. It is Barnabas, isn't it? Just question myself now. But that gentleman selling it, and he gave it. So Ananias sees this, and they've got a piece of land. Well, everybody else is doing it. If we don't, we're going to be thought ill of. But they sell it, but they keep back a part of it. And said, evidently, that they gave it all. Because it said, you've lied. Paul said, right in here, why they did it. At the end of that verse 3, yourself. They didn't trust God enough. They didn't trust that God was going to provide for them well enough. We better keep back a part of this to make sure that we make it. They didn't trust in God. You remember our scripture reading this morning? Remember what Bruce read? Jesus said in Matthew 6 and in verse 33, Matthew 6, 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We use the scripture a lot, but we usually talk about it in our service of our attendance. Are you truly seeking God in your service? Do you come here when the church doors are open? Do you do this and that for the right reason? Are you seeking God first, or are you out doing the things you want to do? And in our service, I said, is not part of our service giving back? So this fits here especially well in what it's talking about in this chapter. Is why are you so worried about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat? I lost my job back in 94 one time, and that's kind of a eerie, bad feeling. Just all of a sudden, you got no job. And I thought a little bit, and then one day I was out and I had a Camaro with the T-tops. And I had my T-tops on a summer day, and the sun's shining. It was the most beautiful day in the world. And I've been down to apply for a job. And I thought right there, wow, what a beautiful day. I don't have a job, but it's still a beautiful day. God's provided me with this beautiful day. I'm still alive. I had just had an opportunity to get a job. I'm not starving yet. So We got to be thankful. We got to put our trust in God. That was Jesus' whole point. And the Pharisees continually missed it. Are we missing it too? Let's look at 2 Corinthians and see what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 15. Paul writing to those of Corinth, they had a lot of problems. 2 Corinthians 8, 15. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over. And he who gathered little had no lack. You know what he's talking about here? He's giving a quote or talking about those of the Old Testament and of the manna. The manna came down every morning and they could go out and gather it. But God said, gather what you need, because nothing's going to be left over. And it said there that those that gathered a bunch, when it was all said and done, it rotted. They didn't have any left over for tomorrow, just in case the manna never came back, because that was their thought and why they needed to do it. But it said there that they that gathered little had no lack. It was sufficient for them. They were filled. Why did they gather little? Because they had trust in God. They knew whatever they took, it was going to be enough. They would be provided for. Concluding here, when it comes right down to it, we need to ask ourselves, who are we more like in our giving? Are we like the poor widow of Luke 21? Or are we more like Ananias and Sapphira of Acts chapter 5? Each of us need to keep in mind, God doesn't need our money. His will be done. And the work of the church will be done. If not by us, if not by me, because I don't give enough, someone else will. Each one of us needs to remember that each of us are commanded to give. That's my lesson for this morning. Hasn't been a lesson pertaining to you become a Christian, but we offer an invitation at the end of each lesson for those that are not Christians, that they can have that opportunity to become one. Or if there's things also that might be amiss in your life, that you could make that right at this time. Or if you need the prayers of the church, whatever your need may be, you have that opportunity as we stand and sing the song that was selected at this time.